The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone, for they are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. May God bless the words of my mouth and the meditation. Well, this is an incredible passage, and it feels like two passages, and it certainly is two different passages. But I'd like to tie them together today. They seem a little disjointed, but I think what Jesus and the lectionary people are doing here is helping us understand what a person of faith is. And I want to begin by starting with the very last sentence, and that is, Jesus said to the woman, "Great is your faith." What does that look like when someone has great faith? And wouldn't you love to be this lady and to have for all of eternity recorded in the scriptures that your faith was great? And I think it's interesting that we have a little bit of an explanation of what faith doesn't necessarily look like in the beginning of this passage. There's also the story of a priest that was late for a very important diocesan event. The bishop was going to be there. There were over 1,000 people there. And he was running really late, and the parking lot was full, and he starts praying for a parking spot. And he says, "Lord, if you give me a parking spot, I'll give 5% more for my offering every Sunday, and I'll stop cussing." And then suddenly, he looks up, and there's a spot. And he looks up to God and says, "Never mind, I found one." Faith is not transactional like that. And what we find in the beginning of this passage is some people that defined their faith by things they did and didn't do, rather than placing their faith in who Jesus is and what he can do. That's the miracle of this incredible lady. And here she was, a Gentile. She wasn't of the Jewish background that the other people that Jesus begins this particular passage with. She was an outsider, but she understood who Jesus was. In fact, she even had the theology and the genealogy down because she calls Jesus the Son of David. She understood that he was the king. He was somebody that could heal her child. She even believed to the point that Jesus didn't have to be there to do it. He could just speak the words and her child would be healed. This is the kind of faith that this woman has. And for all of eternity, it's recorded how Jesus felt about her faith. Now, Jesus addresses her in kind of a snarky way. We'll cover that another time. But I want to go back to the beginning of this passage where it starts to talk about those things that defile us. And Jesus talks about it's not what goes into the mouth, it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles us. And what he's talking about is really our faith in action. Our faith isn't the traditions and the things that we do, it's how we love and treat other people. That is what defines our faith. And so Jesus begins by talking about some of these traditions. And of course, the one that probably was being observed by these religious leaders that were offended at Jesus' words was that ceremonially, the disciples were not washing their hands the way that they were supposed to. Now, Jesus isn't saying it isn't important to wash your hands. Your mom was right. You should always wash your hands before dinner and after using the restroom. We know all that, right? What Jesus was saying is, that isn't what makes you holy or pure. What makes us faithful people are the things that we do to other people. And then he gives that list of things that come out of the heart. Things like murder and lying and harming other people. He uses the word fornication, which has been used to beat up a lot of people, but that word really has the idea of coercion and hurting other people in a perverse kind of way. And he lists those things because he says those are the things that defile. Our actions and our attitudes and our words towards people is what defiles us, not those things that we do ceremonially. And so I think this is a good reminder for at least me, if no one else here can relate to this. It's a good reminder that my faith is in Christ, not in my traditions. And I think sometimes, as an Episcopalian, by the way, I love all this stuff that we do. I love wearing a man dress every week. I love all of the trappings. I love the beautiful flowers that Dan and Lou have done. I love the worship space that we've created at All Saints. I love all the traditions, the bowing and the genuflexing. I love all of that. But we are never to worship what we do. We're to worship him who those things are for.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus is reminding the people, that he is the object of our faith, not those things that we do or those traditions that we have. It's interesting, Jesus gets a little bit graphic here. He talks about the foods that we eat. In Mark, he actually says that he declared things undefiled. And Jesus, for the first time, is kind of addressing the food issue. Because of passages like this and the parallel passage in Mark, as well as Peter's vision, we now get to eat bacon and shellfish. I'm very thankful for that. I don't know about you, but I love me some seafood. But the idea is that Jesus was saying those things were for a time and to identify a particular group of people. They were traditions to set people apart. They were not to go on as defining our faith. And so Jesus is helping us understand that the things to avoid are not foods, but rather behaviors and hurtful words and harmful attitudes towards other people. He also goes on to say that our faith isn't defined by our ethnicity or our upbringing either. Certainly, those are things to be proud of. We can have those contexts that we come from that certainly have expressions of faith. And I love the different traditions of different cultures, but that can't define our faith either. They can be expressions of our faith. And what was happening in this particular time is that our Jewish friends were elevating their ethnicity and their heritage over the God of the universe in flesh through Jesus. And so he's reminding them that what is important isn't our ethnicity, especially because he takes this outsider, this wonderful woman, and uses her as the example of faith in the midst of all these religious leaders, including the disciples themselves. And he says, her faith is great. This is what faith looks like. And so this idea of defining our faith by traditions or things that we just avoid, those can be expressions of our faith, but they're never to be substitutes for our faith. And did you notice the list that he gives of all the things that defile us? I wish we had time to go in and break those down, but you can see that all of those things are things that hurt others. And Jesus talks about this idea that our hearts should be ones that love other people, that the best way to show and demonstrate our faith to God and to other people is by loving them and doing the opposite of those behaviors. And Jesus here is helping them understand that their faith should be defined by actions of love and trust. My daughters learned to trust me as a dad, maybe a little bit too much. When they were little, we had stairs, and one of the fun things as a dad that I liked to do was stand at the bottom of the stairs and get my daughters to jump into my arms. Did some of you do that crazy kind of thing? And so my kids would jump, and at first they were really scared, you know. Oh, Dad, are you going to catch me? Oh, yeah, I'm going to catch you. And you know, they'd kind of jump in a small kind of way, and then they'd go up another step, and then they really leap, and then they're jumping really far. And I said, okay, that's good. But they loved to do that so much that one time I'm walking by, one of my daughters was coming down the stairs, and she just leaps. That's how much she trusted me. The difference is I'm just a man. I'm just a person. Those are the kinds of leaps of faith that we can do with our God, and that's what this woman understood. She understood that the Lord of the universe in flesh, Jesus, could heal her daughter from miles and miles away. That's the kind of faith, and that's how it expressed itself with her. And I think this beautiful idea of faith not being our traditions and not having faith in our traditions, but having faith in the God of our traditions is a good reminder for you and me, whether it's Sunday or whether it's throughout our week, that our faith, if it's going to be like this wonderful woman's faith, if it's going to be great faith, it needs to be in who Jesus is. I don't want to discourage you from having these traditions. These are great. But let's keep them in perspective. Let's remember that they are vehicles and tools and wonderful expressions to show God our love and our faith. Just like with my wife, we have a lot of traditions between the two of us. But the moment I just respect the tradition and not the person it's for, then it loses its point. And in this passage, I think Jesus is asking all of us to examine our faith. Oh, let's have these wonderful expressions. Let's keep it up. I love this stuff. It's beautiful, and I think it honors God. But let's keep him the center of all of it. Whether it's the hymn that we sing, or it's the way that we talk to our neighbor, or the way that we treat the stranger. All of that is for Christ. And that is how we define our faith. What does our faith What does your faith look like in your life today?